There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us here. With you, as always, on every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, and I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, the lovely and talented Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
So, now, did you read more of this story, Tim? We just briefly touched on it here before the show. They have found what they believe to be kryptonite?
Yeah.
And what was it? It was like Superman 3 was the movie, right? Wasn't it? Or Superman 2, one of them, when they actually broke down what created kryptonite, and now they've actually found
the formula.
Some stone that actually has the exact same formula.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's not the original formula. It's new kryptonite.
Excellent.
And it won't sell as well.
It won't be on the shelves long. No, but really, they've found what they're... Are they actually naming it kryptonite?
They can't... I don't believe they can because of trademark.
Come on, DC Comics will cough that up, don't you think?
I don't know.
Kind of strange.
But they said it's the exact same chemical compound as kryptonite.
Excellent. I wonder if they tweak it and put the nicotine in like Richard Pryor did in Superman 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? Kind of crazy thoughts. We've got a good show coming up for you tonight. We've got a couple of great guests lined up. We're going to get to them in a few minutes. I do have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. First off, make sure that we are mentioning this, that the 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention will be taking place July 20th and the 21st. And it's presented by The Real Deal, the 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention on July 20th through the 21st at the very haunted Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California. Speakers are Unknown Magazine founder and psychic sensitive TV personality from the TV show Dead Famous, Mr. Chris Fleming, will be there. Ghost stalker Richard Sennett will be there. Is there any kind of restraining order you can get for a ghost stalker, Tim?
I believe so. It has to be filed with the Heavenly Court of Appeals.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Capers founder Derek Bartlett will be there speaking on the dangers of dealing with the paranormal. I think most of the dangers are dealing with Tim and I. Is that right?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Capers member and psychic-sensitive Tom Durant will also be there speaking on shadow people. PRI member Guy Jackson will be speaking on paranormal sound phenomena. Empathic. Yeah, I knew two words. Empathic sensitive Chad J. Saunders will be speaking on enhancing your psychic abilities. And I'll be there as well. Dave Schrader, that's right, myself. I'll be out there helping do some of the little, emceeing. And I guess they wanted to use me for, and I'll also be doing a talk about the paranormal. And from what I understand, we are in negotiations, or not we, but they're in negotiations to have the lovely Mr. Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence join them as well. And I also know Chad Kalick and Adrian Villara, our good friends from TerrorNormal.com, will be there. So it's going to be a great opportunity to go out there and check it out, get all the information. We're going to have a link for it up on our site here. There's downloadable coupons for $10 off online, goodie bags for the first 200 people that registered. Featured events include an all-night paranormal investigation of the Glen Tavern Inn, which is an all-access investigation. And I know that although we won't be leading it, Chris, Patrick, and myself will be there walking around doing the investigation too, and so will Chad and Adrian, I believe. An intro to tarot workshop, a seance will be held in room 104. If you're into that, screening of Conjure, a movie will be there. Just going to be a fantastic opportunity. If you're interested, you can check out the information by going to woodwardpsychic.com, woodwardpsychic.com, and get the information there. We'll also put up a site link for it here on our site in the next couple of days so that you can get that information and make sure that you join us out at the South Coast Paranormal Convention, and that is, again, July 20th through the 21st. Another really cool thing, make sure you have a pen and paper ready for this. there is a casting call going out for a new paranormal TV show, and they are looking for talented women involved in the paranormal field that would like to be a part of a show, whether it's ongoing or whether you'd be just part of one or two episodes is kind of up in the air, I guess, at this point. But what they're asking is if you can mail to me, email dave@darknessradio.com. If you have one or two headshots of yourself or just the best pictures that you have of yourself, and if you can give me about a one-page bio about yourself and about your experience in the paranormal, I'll be forwarding that over to the producer, and they'll be taking a look at it and getting in touch. Make sure you include your phone number, your name, best times to reach you, and give us the information. They are looking for women primarily in California, Southern California. However, if you meet the criteria and you're anywhere else in the United States and you're dynamic, ready to be on TV and talk about the paranormal and be seen in a brilliant light instead of just being a second or third round pick in the team, where you'll actually be one of the highlighted people, you can still include it, and they are definitely checking everybody. And of course, if the show gets picked up and things go well, if you're willing to relocate to California, that makes it all the better. So for more information, you can email me dave@darknessradio.com. Please include one or two headshots, photos of yourself, and then a bio about yourself and how to get in touch with you. And you can start doing that as soon as tonight. Again, if you have questions for any of our guests this evening, we also invite you to email questions over to tim@darknessradio.com. He'll check them throughout the show. And you can also join us by going into the www.darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, and when you join us there, there's also a link to join us live in the chat room, where Tim is sitting in the chat room monitoring your questions. There's a lot of great people in there, like-minded paranormal fans that would love to talk with you and share your thoughts and experiences with them. And if you have any questions for our guests, that is the best way to get involved in the show as well. So we want to thank you all for tuning into the show this evening. We're going to get into it right away with our first guest, Eric Julian. He is a former fighter pilot trainee, a military air traffic controller, a twin jet pilot in commercial aviation. He's a station manager for an international airline company and an airport manager in the Great Parisian airports. After more than, about a half century of investigation, Eric offers a global and scientific solution to one of the greatest challenges known to science. For Julian, the fractal nature of time and its three dimensions led to the emergence of a revolutionary global theory, absolute relativity. And even though his work is more of a scientific nature, the general public can actually understand what he's doing. And he gives very precise explanations in his book that highlights the mistakes of the science and will furthermore offer insight into extraterrestrial technology, and which Eric himself calls, and I'll probably butcher this and I apologize, Eric, it's extra more, how do you say this? Extra, I can't even say it. It's a big word. Extra morporals. I can't get it out. This is horrible. Eric, what's the word I'm looking for?
Hi, David. Hi, Tim. The word is extratemporal.
That's it. See, yeah. You got to go using those $10 words, Eric. I'm a very humbled man here. But the book is out. It's called UFOs Explained at Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. And we'd like to welcome to our show Eric Julian. Thank you very much for joining us here this evening, sir.
Thank you very much, Dave, and thank you, Tim, too. I'm very glad to be with you tonight because you make a very good job, I mean, for educating people about, you know, different weird things. But now, I guess we can explain it. That's why I have written the book, The Science of Extraterrestrials. And, of course, according to what you want to talk about tonight, we'll see how it's possible to explain UFOs and paranormal phenomena.
That would be awesome. Now, let me talk to you about this. Now, you know, we got a little bit of your background, but Eric, help us understand what got you involved in the paranormal. Now, was it because you were involved as a pilot and working commercial aviation? Did you start having experiences with UFOs or deal with friends and relatives that did?
Well, as a professional, I mean, in aviation industry, I've just got one experience when I was air traffic controller. It was in 1983. I've got on my panoramic screen a target flying, but I don't like the term flying, you know, because they are not really flying. But it was a target crossing my scope from east to west at about at the nearest point at 15 miles from the base, the Air French base of Reims base, Air Force Base 112. It was about I mean, the speed was about 20,000 kilometers per hour. It means about 17,500 miles per hour. It was very fast, and of course, it was impossible to scramble. You know, the pilots ready to go, because of course, after some few seconds, the target was out of our national space.
Wow.
So, but it was very impressive to see it. Very impressive.
That's what it sounds like. So you started to see these type of things. Now, what got you involved in the science of extraterrestrials? First of all, let me ask you this, starting off the show. Do you believe that we are being visited by aliens from another planet?
Absolutely. And since a long time, and especially since the World War II, because as I explained it in the book, we are, you know, in this new era of UFO in the same times as the nuclear weapons era too.
Right.
So it means that there is a strong correlation, I mean, between the two events, I mean, the nuclear bombs and the UFO era, the first UFO sightings in our modern era. So the problem today is how to explain this link, this relationship between the two phenomena. I mean, because in fact, it was very hard for people to understand why there were such a correlation, because in fact, normally nuclear explosions have nothing to do with very far civilization in the space, but in fact there is a very strong link, which is the change of the time nature and the space-time continuum where they live. So the point is that I began to be in touch with the UFOs because I've got some different contacts.
Now, do you believe that it's when we blew off the bombs at Hiroshima, that or Hiroshima, whatever the proper pronunciation is, that in effect had a ripple effect that alerted the aliens to, okay, these guys are coming into their own, we better take a more active interest in this planet?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, you know, apart my book itself, we have to remember that the UFO era began with the nuclear era first. The second, the superposition of the statistical patterns for observation of UFOs with those for nuclear tests is clear for the experts. The same people are behind nuclear deployment and official reports on UFOs. I say official reports. Of course, it has been denied. And at last, UFOs are often spotted over nuclear sites, as many experts noticed and mentioned in their studies. And maybe you know that Kate Massey of Out There TV has written an article, the last issue of April, in UFO Magazine. After an interview with me, she mentions again that there is a big correlation between the two. When you consider the studies themselves. So now, the problem is how to explain this link between the two phenomena. And this is, I mean, one of the theme, one of the thread, I mean, of the science of extraterrestrials. So they came here on Earth, even if they were on Earth before for certain civilizations. They were here, but just, the sightings before the Second World War was just most of the time, often, I mean, they were just luminous, just lights. But now, since mid the 20th century, we've got real objects, materialized objects, and it is due to the change of the space-time continuum of where they live, I mean. But we have to go deeper in the explanation to understand why it's possible.
Now, there are experts that believe that when we blew off the nuclear bombs, that actually caused a rift in the time and space dimension that's allowing these creatures from another dimension altogether to come into our reality. Do you believe that there's any science to back that theory up? Or do you believe that these are just creatures from within our own universe that have come here to travel to check us out?
Well, this is a very important question, because we see extraterrestrials just coming from, you know, very deep space. And, of course, they are, in fact, in other layers of, you know, what I call planes of existence. So it means that we have to reconsider how is our universe, and the distance we see from our macroscopic point of view is just does not exist in the small scale, and it is due to the nature of time and nature of space themselves. So the problem is that there are sometimes extraterrestrials when they are materialized because of the relation we make with the distance in our physical world.
Sure.
But they are not extraterrestrials when they are extratemporals. It means in our in another time density, what I call time density. And then they are ultra-terrestrials. They come from another plane of existence which is faster than ours.
Okay.
And this is not easy to understand, of course, because this
right.
is a new step in science. But this is the reality. And that's why we have to understand that ghosts and extraterrestrials are of the same nature, in fact. Or deads and extraterrestrials come from the same kind of states of the space-time.
All right. Now, do you believe that they're here as so many people, you know, are they here merely as observers, in your opinion, or are they here, are they doing the anal probes and the testing? Are they the ones vivisecting our cows and leaving them for, you know, roadkill on the side of the road, or do you believe that there's a bigger plan in effect here?
Well, in a certain point of view, they are cowards, but, you know, it's absolutely natural because we're so dangerous, and this is the point. I've written an article asking, are we a security threat to extraterrestrial civilization? And we are, because due to the first, the atomic bombs, the atomic explosions we've met, you know, hundreds of atomic explosions in the past, in the last 50 or 60 years. And this is a real threat for them, and that's why they came here on Earth, for most of them. So,
but how are we a threat to them, though, if they're that far advanced above us that they're able to travel light years in time to get here? We're not anywhere near that level of being able to do those kind of travel, unless you know more than we do and that we are closer to that realm than we are aware of and the government's holding it from us. Why would they be so fearful of us? I mean, if they have the technology to come here, don't they have the technology to knock our bombs out of the sky?
Oh, you know, it's one thing to travel in space and time, because they travel in time too. And it's another thing to neutralize nuclear warheads. It's something very different. So we have data showing that they have intervened with our nuclear missiles. But they don't, I mean, they cannot neutralize or about 16,000 warheads, nuclear warheads. This is impossible for them. So what they do is just surveillance and sometimes neutralization of our warheads. But it's just a matter of warning. And it's not possible for them to neutralize us in terms of military power. And that's why there is a problem. That's why they have warned people like contactees, like abductees, saying that nuclear arms, nuclear weapons are very dangerous for them and for us too. But of course, they didn't say that it's dangerous for them because it's, you know, it's a weakness for them. So they don't want us to know that they are weak regarding the nuclear weapons. So the problem now is to be mature enough to understand this and to, I mean, just give up with the nuclear weapons. And unfortunately, you know that there is an arm race still today, and especially in the nuclear field, and we will have a big wave of sightings very soon due to, you know, the threat of Iran and other countries too.
Really? Okay. Now, so many UFOs are seen over sites of historical nature. You know, there's the famous footage of the UFOs flying in restricted airspace over the Vatican during the death of the Pope. You know, there was reports of UFO activity going on over, in New York City close to 9/11 when the towers were hit. Do you believe that, well, you said that they can travel through time. Are they coming to check the histories out to see what happened for sure? Have you had experiences yourself with aliens?
Absolutely.
One-on-one communication with them?
Yes. I'm what people call a contactee. But it didn't came, come easily, in a few moments. It has taken about 12 years before it was obvious to me. So I told you before that I have had a target on my panoramic scope, but in 1990, I've got, first of all, I would like to mention, the appearance of a saucer on the base of Reims. It was 1984, just 1 year after the target of my scope. It was a saucer hovering above the headquarters of the base at night. It was 10 p.m., and it was seen by a colleague of mine, and it was very obvious for him. It was, a saucer with the lights around, on the saucer and below, and it has lasted about 10 minutes. But he didn't want to warn first his colleagues in the radar room, but after a while, it was so strange, so weird, that he warned them, and unfortunately, it wasn't late. It was late. For them to come up to the tower and see the saucer. But he did a report to the DEPAN, which is this famous service in France within the CNES, the National Space Agency of France. There is a service of experts studying, UFO sightings, UFO reports, and so on, from the police reports. So there was this appearance of saucer, and I, as a matter of fact, I was about a few meters from this building, this headquarters, and I lived in on the base itself, on the air base itself.
Okay.
So, but after 1990, I've got a daydream, a lucid dream, where I saw a technical design of an UFO, and I was surrounded by three creatures. I wasn't able to see them, but I knew perfectly that they were not humans. And it was very strange. I didn't, fear them, but they wanted just me to understand the diagram, the function, and the mechanism of their ship. And I've got some information back, but not enough to know all the parts of this ship. But what is interesting here is that I have reached, or they have got me in that state where you've got a very high intelligence. This is very weird, because you are not yourself. In the daily intelligence state. And you are like a genius. You understand all things. You've got many details. And when you're back, it's not the same thing, of course. And you just grab just some few details of the experience. And it was the case.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. You know what? We have to take a quick break. For those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest right now is Eric Julian, and he is the author of UFOs Explained at Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. We'll be back with more right after this.
Adopting aliens and giving them good homes since 1953. Just don't tell our landlord.
E.T. phone home.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
It's Dave and Tim, shacking up in the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
I know I didn't have an anal probe, and I know that I am not under alien control.
Now it's your turn.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. And our guest this evening is Eric Julian, and he is the author of a book about the science of extraterrestrials and UFOs, and just amazing. I mean, the book itself was called UFOs Explained Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. Before we launch back into the guest, I do want to make a mention. Tickets are going really well for the Waverly Hills event that we have coming up, so you're going to want to go check that out at darknessevents.com. Just had some friends come back from doing an investigation there this weekend. A couple of my skeptical friends came back completely blown away. As a matter of fact, my good friend Shay actually saw the spirit of a little boy there clear as day, she said, when somebody's camera flash popped off. Shadow people were out in force. An amazing, amazing place, and we're going to be offering this up as our lowest attended event for the season, I believe. We're only going to allow 100 people to attend the event. The first 100 people that sign up, you also get two nights to investigate Waverly Hills Sanitarium. Not one, but two full nights of investigations. Plus, we're going to be holding the event directly at Waverly Hills, so we're going to be doing our talks there during the day, meeting with Charlie and Tina, the owners. We've got Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, Chad and Adrian from Terror Normal, who are going to go on and show us the full episode that they filmed at the Waverly Hills Sanitarium. It's amazing footage, so you're going to want to check it out. Please come on out. Join us out for that event. You can check on the website for more information, how to sign up, full price, and everything that you get with it. We also have tickets available for the Return to the Queen Mary, the second wave trip that's going to be taking place in December, December 2nd through the 5th. We hope that you'll join us out there with Jason Hawes, Grant Wilson, Patrick Burns, Chris Fleming, Lloyd Auerbach, and the whole crew. We're going to be out there investigating the haunted Queen Mary, along with resident psychic and medium Erica Frost and former psychic medium of the Queen Mary, Mr. Peter James. So we'll hope to see you all out there. Right now, though, we're going to get back into our show. And one thing I do want to mention here that's pretty cool, I am in negotiation right now. We are looking at bringing an event to Hawaii, maybe by the end of this year, where we're going to make it a two-part trip, where part of the trip we're going to be investigating paranormal hotspots in Hawaii. The second part of the trip we're going to be night watching, so that we can, you think Todd Sheets is going to sue me for saying that?
I think so.
Night watching. All right. We will be sky watching. we're going to be sky watching, looking for UFO activity and hearing from a few UFO experts as well, which leads us back into our guest this evening, Eric Julian. And he has a book out called UFOs Explained at Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. We have a link for it right on our website, so you can go to Amazon.com and order it. Eric, before we went to break, you were talking to us about your experience with these creatures. Now, you said you couldn't see them. How did you know then that they were there?
Oh, it was just the beginning of the story, you know. It was just 1990, but there were about 20 other events from 1990. For example, you know, I've got a transcendental experience preceded by a loud noise. loud noise. I mean, identical to the my wife's UFO sighting years before, and the noise was you know, right above the house, very loud, and I was just sleeping, not my wife, but she saw nothing outside. No one has moved except the dogs that they were barking very loud too, and the sound was very loud for her. But I've got an experience with you know, a state, the same state of, you know, intelligence I've got in 1990, and I've got the three-time theory, and which is a very elaborated time theory. And as a matter of fact, I've got information speaking about a guy, a very high scientist who is Spalding, a former student of Penrose, you know, I guess it's Robert Penrose, very high scientist. Mm-hmm. And he has got the same kind of 3D time theory just months before. You know, it means, so the information I've got, it was in March 2002 of the 3D time theory. So it means I was quite advanced regarding this theory, particularly. And I talk about this theory in the book, of course. But for example, in October 2002, there were a ballet of lights above my the two homes. You know, I was just moving from one house to another one, and after, so there were about 10 to 15 lights in the sky, like an air battle, and with, you know, erratic movements. And after a while, there were a triangular craft over my first house, the one I was living. And it seems that someone wanting me to do something or to see something, I don't know exactly, but it was just a few 60 feet above the roof, you know. And the size of the craft was about 45 feet. And it has been reported by my wife and my children, too. They were scared, absolutely scared. So this is just an example. So what is important, I've been abducted to, you know, in 2003. I've got, I made different remote viewing sessions to, you know, what I call a blue being base. So most of the time I meet blue beings. They are, you know, small, 5 feet tall, big head, large, almond eye, and the skin is blue itself. And it's extremely weird to be among them. But I've been, you know...
explained to you? Why you? What are they looking for from you? Are they taking your genetics and making new alien babies somewhere? Are they just probing your mind to understand why you can see them or why you're experiencing things? What is their interest in Eric Julian?
It's difficult to say. Maybe my mind is such opened, and I'm maybe able to accept different other ideas about the nature of things, about the nature of beings, that maybe they considered that I was maybe good enough. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's not really the matter. Why I have written the book, The Science of Extraterrestrials, is just to share their knowledge, what they want us to understand about the time nature. And it's very important because, you know, you explain so many things, so many mysteries are explained that it's so powerful, you know. That's why they wanted me to write this book. They guided me to do it, of course. But what is important that to understand is that things will happen too. And what I can say is that in few weeks, in few, maybe months, but probably in few weeks, the world will have a big surprise regarding the evidence of the extraterrestrials' presence on Earth. And this is, I mean, I say it for the records, of course.
Sure.
But it's
now, are these? Let me ask you really quickly, Eric. Do you know, people want to know? I mean, we've been, you know, Hollywood has screwed our all of our heads up, and every alien is here to kick our butts. I mean, is there any reason to fear interaction with these creatures or these beings? Maybe creatures isn't the right term.
Oh, you know, as below, as above, I was to say, you know, there are good and bad guys everywhere, even in the even.
Okay.
So it means that there are bad guys wanting us to destroy ourselves just to take the place, and making Ibrit's guys and my partner I live with has got, you know, a baby, an Ibrit,
Okay.
An hybrid baby, and she knows him. So we've been abducted above.
Wait a minute. Now, let's go. You know somebody that has an alien-human hybrid baby?
Yes, that's right. I live with her.
You live with her?
Yes.
Okay. Do the child support checks come in regularly from aliens, at least? No, I'm sorry. I'm just joking with you, but...
No, it's okay.
It's an alien... Now, how many alien hybrids are there on our planet? Is it a lot more prevalent than we know about?
Oh, we don't have any number, of course, but we guess that there are thousands.
Okay.
And so the agenda of these aliens are to replace the human beings on Earth. It's very hard for the humanity to accept it. Of course, because it's impossible.
The race that impregnated your friend and delivered a hybrid child actually wants to replace us with their hybrid versions?
Yes, and with the remaining people on Earth after big troubles coming.
Okay.
They want us, the remaining people to be mixed with these hybrid people.
Well, now you're saying there's big troubles coming, Eric. I mean, is it imminent that nuclear war and a devastating blow is going to be dealt to the planet here soon?
Yes. This is what I've been told. And but I don't want to speak so much about it because...
I'm just trying to get a feel for what, you know... I mean, I know if I don't ask the question, my listeners are going to be all over me wondering why I didn't take it any further on that. But so what they're trying to do is start up... Now are the hybrid children that they're making now, will they survive this attack?
Oh, this hybrid, I mean, people are not living in our physical world for the moment.
Okay.
They will incarnate soon, but not now. This is something very hard to believe, of course, and that's
sure.
Why I don't want to point out.
Eric, we're doing a paranormal radio show. We, you know, what's to believe and what's not to believe, you know, I mean, it's certainly up in the air, but I'm just intrigued. So this hybrid child that your friend had does not live currently on our planet?
No, I mean, what do we call planet? I talk about a physical planet.
The baby doesn't have a room at your house is, I guess, what I'm asking.
No.
Okay.
No. No, of course, like I explained in the science of extraterrestrials, there are different layers, different planes of existence, and one of it is the one where extraterrestrials or extratemporals live. So the problem now is, since we're so materialist, I mean, in humanity,
sure,
we don't understand that there are so much layers above us, you know.
Sure.
So it's very difficult. But to understand it, you know, a few days ago, one guy told me, but, you know, how do you believe in it? Do you believe in UFO, really? I said, yes. I do believe only what I see. I answered to him, okay, right. Do you believe in electromagnetic waves? Oh, yes, of course. Do you believe in the radio waves? Yes. Do you see them? No. So do you believe in atom? Yes, of course. But do you see them? No. So, and so on. I mean, it's a lot of things that we don't see, and they exist. And
right.
That's the same thing for extraterrestrials or extratemporals. And even our thoughts. We know that we are thoughts, but we don't see them. This is the problem. So now, how to link all this stuff, you know, all physical stuff, psychic stuff, spiritual stuff, and so on. How to link them? So the answer is...
We have to take a quick break here. Why don't we leave people with that hinging, then we'll come back and you can give us the answer on what links the paranormal and all of these different fields. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Eric Julian, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I am Greenblock 6, and when I am in your galaxy, I listen to Dave and Tim on the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
George Clooney, Carmen Diaz, Oprah, Ellen, George Bush, Diane Pelosi.
What are you doing?
I'm making a list of people I want to tell about charity checks.
Do you know any of those people?
No, but if I can get to them, they might want to tell the public how cool it is to use giving certificates as presents instead of gift certificates.
Giving certificates?
Yeah, you know. They can be used as a donation to any legitimate charity. So the person who gives a charity check gets the tax deduction, and the person who gets one decides where the money goes.
Why don't you just tell people directly about charity checks yourself?
Like anyone would listen to me.
www.charitychecks.us for information about the perfect present.
Well, no, they're not going to listen to you like that. But if you just said that Charity Checks provides a unique way to turn your gift money into giving money, they might pay attention.
Catchy.
Then you just casually say the web address, charitychecks.us, America's Giving Certificate.
I still think a celebrity endorsement would be more effective.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Our guest this evening is Eric Julian, and he is the author of a book called UFOs Explained at Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. And before we went to break, he was just about to start to explain to us, give us a little nutshell answer here, of what kind of brings all of the different levels of these paranormal experiences together. So without further ado, Mr. Julian, I'll turn the con back over to you.
Yes. You know, the problem today is to know that we were made ourselves of different layers of our being. We, of course, for spiritual people, it's quite easy to understand it. But the problem today is to link it with the scientific knowledge. So how is it possible? How can we link our spiritual being, our spiritual body, with the physical body that every physician knows, of course? So the problem is, how do we define the matter? And the matter is made of atoms, of course, made of different particles, protons, neutrons, electrons, and so on. But what are these particles? What are made of? Are they made of? I mean, they are made of other, you know, for the core of the atom or for the proton or neutron, made of quarks. So what are these quarks, you know? So when you go deeper and deeper in the small scales, you see that they are just made of space and time. That's all. All the matter, all the universe is made of space and time. So now, we have I guess, correctly understood the time or the space nature. But unfortunately, we didn't have understand correctly the time nature. And there are a lot of, you know, controversy about this nature of time.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, for example, a very good institute in Russia about a time nature exploration, which has made hundreds of articles about this this time nature. We've got in USA a ten of scientists having written about a time nature very deeply. And they all say that we don't really understand what is the time nature. What I say is the time is fractal, discontinuous, and three-dimensional. So the three-dimensional has been discovered recently by Pauling, which who is a very top scientist.
Linus Pauling?
Pardon me?
Did you say it was Linus Pauling was the one that discovered that?
No. Spalling.
Oh, Spalling. Okay, sorry about
yes,
that.
Yes, it's okay. Was proposed a 3D time theory to explain the space-time, replacing Einstein theory, too. So you have three dimensions of space and three dimensions of time. This is exactly what I said in 2002, and I have written it in the book. About you know the link between the different layers, what is the problem today is if we have a time which is fractal, for which there are different time flows, so we just measure our physical time. This is exactly what we do. We measure our physical time with an atomic clock made of a conventional second. So the main point is that a frequency is based on the conventional time unit, which is the second, and what we call the arrow of time is but an arbitrary way to consider all the phenomena. So it means that as a strict causality, you know, the cause-effect relationship
mm-hmm.
does not exist really. I mean, it's just conditional. And equations, you know, which express a particular causality just describe a particular point of view, the one of the human observer and the one of the instrument itself. So the causality is variable, and this is very new, I mean, in science. It is just a matter of point of view according to the scale in which the observer is to look at the observed objects. This is important. We are in a macroscopic scale to observe phenomena. When there are ghosts, when there are paranormal phenomena, we see them from our macroscopic point of view, but not from the point of view of the phenomena itself. And this is exactly what, I mean, the matter of the quantum physics, you know. We see particles because they interact with our scale. That's why there is, you know, the photon effects on matter. And that's why they are considered as particles. I mean, the photons
sure.
are considered as particles. But at the atom scale, there is no particle at all. There are just waves. And this is, you know, one of the greatest mysteries, I mean, of science. What is why there is so such a duality between particle and waves? It's impossible to understand it except if you consider time as cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing explains the quantum character of matter apart from cyclical time. And this is exactly what characterizes, electrons and protons. They don't have any life, no arrow of time for this particle. They are just spinning, and we speak about the spin of these particles. So what is this new theory in the book, The Science of Extraterrestrials? This is what I call the absolute relativity. The more space, the less time, and conversely. It means that we have, I mean, the time is very sensitive at very small scales. And that's why in our macroscopic microscopic scale, we see this paranormal phenomena and even quantum physics itself as something very furtive, very stealth. And this is, of course, very difficult because this is a new concept. This is a new paradigm in science. And I've been approached, this is very interesting to know that I've been approached by a group of experts wanting to reproduce an alien aircraft or alien craft.
Mm-hmm.
In this probe, there is Al Puthoff, you know, the father of the remote viewing, the scientific remote viewing, for example, and the father of the zero point energy or zero point field in quantum physics. And there are other experts like this, and they were linked with the CIA. They call the project the RAM project for replication of alien machine, and they wanted me to help regarding the time nature, because this is a very important point, very main point to clearly understand what's going on after once you are dematerialized, for example, what's going on in time.
Right.
So that's why they want me to help. So,
but now quantum physics has proven that time isn't linear or even cyclical, right? I mean that it's everything's going on at the same time. Now, the future, the past, it's all going on at the exact same time, layered on top of one another. Isn't that right?
Yes, yes. In a certain view, that's right. I mean, this is the same in the same time because we see it from our macroscopic point of view again. This is we have, you know, a physical time flow.
Mm-hmm.
From this time flow, we don't see, you know, it's like when you see the moon, for example, even with a telescope, you don't see all the details on the ground
right.
of the moon. So it means that you have a resolution, a magnitude.
Right.
So this is exactly the same for the time. That's why time, I mean, past, present, and future are the same. But if you are at the time in high time density, it's like be at the top of a mountain, and you see all around, I mean, all the landscape around, and this is exactly the point of view of the extratemporals, and the deaths are extratemporals to extraterrestrials, or people having the ability to incarnate at will, and that's why we're different from them, because we have to change our DNA to be able to incarnate at will. And this is their technology, in fact. Their technology is a time technology.
All right. Well, now we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. It's been going really fast on us here. Can you, with all the propulsion and all of the extraterrestrial things, you know, and technology that we've been talking about over the last 40, 50 years here, are we really working with the aliens to adapt our stuff to that, or have the aliens kept it to themselves? Can you give us any insights on that? And then also I'd like you to address, just to kind of give our viewers, our listeners rather, you said kind of cryptically that in the next 2 weeks to a month there's going to be a major event that will open up. Can you give us a little bit more information on that?
Well, as far as I know, military... And, I mean, what do we call a secret government, has got extraterrestrial technologies especially through crashed crafts. And they have made what do we call a reverse engineering
right.
from these crafts. And they have got some aliens, too, to talk with and to ask questions about their technology. So they have cooperated in a certain time or in a certain way, but they didn't tell them, the military and, you know, the Area 51 guys, all things, of course. And one of the main thing is that the military, I guess, have understood that the point is not the technology itself, but the DNA of the pilot, the DNA of the occupants of the craft. Because if you are not able to move, if you are not able to be conscious during the travel, you can't use the technology, and that's the problem for them. That's why they have an intermediate technology, and they can fly with. And the problem they have been told that they have some stability trouble with their actual technology. And so the problem today is to share this technology in order to enhance it and to get the right solution.
Okay.
And that's why Benevolent ETs gave to me and even to others. I don't know exactly, how many people has got this kind of information. But the problem today is to share the next step of technology.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes left. Can you tell us what should we be looking for in the next 2 weeks to a month that will be the sign that we should know the change is coming?
Oh, your mainstream medias.
It's just going to be something that we can't deny. Is a bomb going to be dropped? Are alien crafts going to appear over the White House kind of thing? I mean, are we talking, what kind of major event are we talking about? You know, deaths of millions or a major tsunami or, you know, UFO coming up out of the water?
You will have, in terms of ET disclosure, you will have very clear evidence of their presence on Earth. And that will shock, I mean, the public all over the world, I mean. And then this is a new step in our global consciousness.
Now, will it be here in the United States, or will it be in a foreign country that it's going to take place? Do you know?
Well, I guess something tells me that it's going to be in the United States.
All right. Something tells you that it's going to be here. All right. Are they your little almond-eyed friends that are telling you that, Eric?
No. Okay. Unfortunately, I can't tell you more because it's something, you know, which is...
I'm sure you can. I'll let you.
Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening. Go ahead and tell me. Everybody, you know, we'll tell them to tune out right now, and you just go ahead and whisper to me, Eric.
No, I mean, I'm not allowed to tell you.
I know. All right. Well, you know, Eric, I appreciate you spending time with us this evening. Your book sounds fascinating. I'm sorry. We had just gotten it. I wanted to have you on. We're supposed to have Lauren Coleman with us this evening to discuss Bigfoot, and he was unable to do it and had to switch us out until next week. So Eric was kind enough to step in at the last minute. So I did not have a chance to go through the book, but it sounds fascinating. I definitely recommend people pick it up, especially if you are into the paranormal and the UFO side of things. It sounds great. It's called UFOs Explained at Last, The Science of Extraterrestrials. Eric, thank you very much. And do you have a website people can go talk to you as well?
Thank you, David, and thank you, Tim, too, and have a very good night.
Thank you very much. And we do have a link for him on our site for the book if you'd like to pick it up from Amazon.com. We thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure that you stick with us because we're going to be back to discuss the ghosts of Louisiana and New Orleans post-Katrina. We're also going to talk about a cool UFO story or alien story with our next guest, Bill Murphy, as well. We'll be back with more. Stick with us here in the darkness on the edge of town.